supporters and by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number, 345-5011. But once again, big shout out to you for tuning in, spending an hour of your evening with us here and talking about practice. Like I said, we got a lot to discuss, so let's get into it. With no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, talking about practice starts right now.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice. Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. The world's greatest sports talk radio show. I am one of your hosts, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, my man, Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan.
What it do, baby? That would have been nice if I had my mic on.
Yeah, helpful.
It was.
I don't know if it was.
I heard you.
I didn't hear myself. That's what it counts.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Hey, though. What's going on?
How you doing?
Is that better?
Oh, that's way better. You just turned me up?
Yep.
Yeah.
Just turn my left headphone up.
Turn my headphones up. And of course, we are joined by Bradley Feingold, a.k.a. Statman Brad.
Yeah!
All right. So like I mentioned, our contrarian, our hater of all things, haterific, Derek Izumaki is out of town.
What's good, party people?
That was solid.
That was impressive.
So we will do our best to hold down the fort while he is down in LA. It's unfortunate because there's multiple things on the rundown that I added that were specific to Derek. But hey, you want to take time off to go see your dad? I guess, dude. Whatever. We see where you're at. But Derek last week was telling us all about this show that just came out on Amazon Prime called All or Nothing. It follows the Carolina Panthers of last year from game one on through the entire 16-game season. And have you guys got a chance to check this out at all?
Yeah, it's like Hard Knocks on steroids.
Yes, have you seen it at all, Brad?
No, I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, that's amazing.
I have seen the first four episodes, so week one through four, and I could not fall asleep because I was just so captivated by it. Now, I am a giant Hard Knocks fan.
Yeah.
Love that show.
Anytime you could see like into the personal life of an athlete, mm-hmm. And kind of just see their routine, even just their day to day with the organizations, mm-hmm. It's cool. It makes, you know, it puts you right in the locker room with them.
Well, a couple of the things that I took away from it, and we'll get to Cam Newton in a second, but a couple of the things that I took away from the first couple episodes is it is really cool, as you were mentioning, to see some of these athletes in their day to day life. And what I found fascinating is we often forget as fans just how much this means to the players themselves, right? And in football in particular, oftentimes the shelf life for your career is, I believe the average NFL career is 3 years and shorter. And these guys really, when we say breaking their bodies for the game, they are actually breaking their bodies. I mean, you got to see what in the first couple episodes, what help me out, Greg Olson had to go through
with his foot and all that,
breaking his foot, re-breaking his foot after breaking his foot the year prior. He has been Cam's top receiver, I believe, 4 of the 7 years he has been in Carolina. So obviously a huge loss to them last season. Watching him go through rehab was really cool. And just the F.A. Adoba, Did you? How many episodes have you watched?
I'm only two in.
Okay, so Efe Adoba is a player.
Don't spoil it for me, please.
I won't. Who is? Well, I mean,
or for our listeners.
How would I spoil it? The season happened last year.
Well, yeah, I know the outcome of their season. I don't know the dynamics and the personalities that intertwine.
Well, I'm going to spoil something.
Okay, that's fine.
It's something to look forward to, though. Efe Adoba, I believe is how you pronounce his name, is a native of Nigeria, moved to Amsterdam. Don't touch that. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Moved to Amsterdam to be with his mom. From there, ended up in the UK, bounced around a bit from foster homes to being on the streets, being in a gang life, to making barely making a roster, to making a practice squad, to making the Carolina Panthers, and then getting to see him play in his first game and how much it meant to him was really cool. And then to see how he performed was even better. And seeing that guy walk to the games, walk to practice, he doesn't have a car. He rents a apartment, a small apartment not far from the stadium, so he can get to and from games and practice on his feet. And it's just cool to kind of realize that this is, I think, part of what we love about sports is stories like that, right? Is just seeing the sacrifice that different individuals have to make in order to live out what we, many of us, consider the American dream. Getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to play a sport you fell in love with as a child. And so I wanted to salute Derek because he put us all up on this several weeks ago and reminded us of it last week. And so far, the series has exceeded my expectations. Now, one thing that Derek and I have liked to do basically since we started doing the show 5 years ago was make fun of Cam Newton. Now, Derek is a Carolina Panthers fan, and even he enjoys laughing at Cam Newton. And there's a lot to laugh about. And since it is the middle of July, let's bring back one of our favorite sound bites from the old version of The Right Time with Bomani Jones with his producer Shannon, which was an amazing radio show. If you ever got to check it out, you remember how awesome that show was. This clip comes courtesy from them.
He is the man. The whole reason for the entirety of Straight Talk is for Cameron Jarrell Newton. So we're going to start with Cam telling you how he likes his music.
My music selection is pretty aggressive with the softness. Just tone it down just a little second so we can clear our minds and, you know, put like a little heavily voice in our hearts and minds.
I think the same way, too, when we pick the bump songs each and every day here in the show, we want to have our music be aggressive with the softness. Absolutely. And so when Bo and I start talking about planning the shows in the morning, we start putting the things together. And it's like almost like a recipe. Isn't that right, Cam?
It was a process. It wasn't going to be, what did I say, instant grits, quick grits.
Nope.
It's going to be a process like long-cooked collard greens.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And I think those collard greens are brewing right now. You can smell it from a mile away.
Absolutely. You can smell it from a mile away, those collard greens. And when working so closely with somebody, at times you got to be cognizant of how that other person feels.
You know, anytime you're with a person for, you know, multiple years, 6 years to be exact, you know, he knows certain things that can, you know, ruffle the lion's feathers.
You got to know. You got to know. Because at times there could be a little tension amongst the show unit.
It's just a tale of execution. You know, we need a little bit more of that in the second half. There's a lot of guys playing with their butts tight, coaches with their butts tight. At one point, fans and myself was butt tight, too.
But
you know, you just have to find ways to get your groove back going. And, you know, we need a little bit more of that on next Sunday.
You got to get your groove back going.
You got to groove that booty loose.
You got to get your groove back going. You got to keep going.
We still got to keep, you know, moving the pendulum forward.
You got to keep going. You got to keep moving the pendulum forward. You cannot stop. You know why?
The monotonism of life can get old.
Absolutely, it can get old. Absolutely, whether you're playing football, whether you're setting up a sports talk radio show, this is not.
We're not playing ballet.
We are not playing ballet. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But at times, you can't be negative.
Unpositive.
You cannot be unpositive. You just got to go about your show unit and see and make sure everything works. You don't want to let all the secrets out there. You got to hold some things tight. To...
We're not going to let the cat out the hat.
You cannot let the cat out the hat. You don't want to do it. You don't want to let the cat out the hat because you can almost guarantee that if you let the cat out the hat,
you can probably, you know, ink it in gold.
You can ink it in gold that some things are going to mess up. But if they do mess up, you can always remember.
Hindsight's always 50-50.
Hindsight's always 50-50.
Hindsight's Jeff Fisher.
Hindsight's always 50-50, okay? So when you're working with these show units, right, some things can get messed up in a way they can.
It could have been contorted in a way.
It could have been contorted in a way, absolutely. And I definitely don't want it to be contorted in a way. But with all that said, I will say.
You know, our morals are high.
Our morals are, in fact, high. Regardless of what happens, our morals will remain high. And when we keep going. We keep going, James. I see you over there. We keep going. You know why?
Yeah, we just lost a great player. But nevertheless, you know, the Titanic still has to go.
It still has to go. One way or another, that Titanic's still going to have to go. You know why?
We just wanted to come out and oppose our will.
We wanted to oppose our will. I don't know if that meant we're going to keep going or not. We wanted to oppose our will. And when you someone like Cameron Jordan Newton and you're doing the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, right? At times people will be critical of you, but at the end of the day, you have to remember.
You know, you put a person up on a pinnacle and you just analyze them from so many different areas, it's kind of unfair, but you know, that's the life we live.
I just had to dust that one off the old shelves there.
Wow.
Just brilliant.
Titanic will go.
Titanic will go until it stops by running into an iceberg.
I'll never let go, Jack.
You heard they're making a second one, right?
They shouldn't have made a first one. Okay.
How would they make resurrecting it?
No. Like they're making a new Titanic boat, and they're going to ship it the same route that it was supposed to go.
Speaking of remakes,
if Derek was here, I feel like he would want it to sink again.
Oh yeah. Well.
I feel like he would too. Yeah, I'm very confused. You know what? I'm going to leave it there.
You didn't even pick it up.
Do we need to remake every movie? Does there need to be a live action version of every Disney movie that was ever made? Let's stop the madness, people. Is all I'm saying. Let's move on. So the NFL training camp teams are reporting and whatnot. It is July, so. And we do a sports show in the U.S., which means ain't a whole lot going on right now. So, training camp. Anyone fired up?
I'm just fired up less than 35 days, and football's back.
I mean, not only that, but you have college coming up a little bit after that, right?
Before.
Wait, college is before that.
College is before, a couple weeks before.
What are they starting? Like,
in 34 days, Brad.
Okay, 34 days?
All right. I said that.
Yeah, okay.
Again.
Anyways.
I love when you ask questions when literally your job is to research these things. When does football start? I don't know, Brad. Google.
Well, I was looking for a more specific date, but that works too.
Yeah, Google is a great tool that we use in this modern day.
I use Bing.
Are you really
no,
a Bing
guy? I'm kidding. I was kidding.
Oh, my God. We're the entire
Ooh,
show
you guys
is about
just
to
fought.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you and see you guys are sitting right next to each other.
Did
so
you see
sketchy.
The fury rise?
He about turned and smacked me upside the head.
I would never physically assault you, Brad. Come on. You're much taller than me. You have a lot more reach on me. are we excited for training camp?
I'm excited just for football in general.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. I'm more excited for the college year coming up. Especially the way that it kind of ended last year with Clemson kind of dominating Alabama, but Alabama's always the preseason favorite. But yeah, I mean, training camp, it's always interesting to see the franchise tags that don't want to sign their tenders that are trying to push towards free agency and hold out all of training camp and then eventually sign a week before the season starts and mess their entire team dynamic up. I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. You know who's not doing that? The Denver Broncos. We are all there. Flacco and all.
I mean, are they going to be good, though?
I forgot that happened. Joe Flacco.
Wacko Flacco.
On the Broncos. I mean, he's going to be
Mile High City.
Now, is he going to be the starter, or are you guys...
Oh, he's going to be the starter. Wait, who do we have?
I don't know.
We got no one else. Shipped off Case Keenum.
Yeah, I mean...
John Elway has not done a...
He's been striking out.
Fantastic job when it comes to selecting other quarterbacks.
But he has done a good job with the defense. I mean, let's look at the players that he's picked up in his tenure.
Yeah, I just, I mean, but the obviously, no one, he wasn't hired for his defensive prowess, yeah. Right? He is a Hall of Fame, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever live, the greatest quarterback of that franchise's history, two-time pro Super Bowl winner, ended his career on top, and has won a Super Bowl as the president of the team. Or president of football operations, with the worst version of Peyton Manning any of us have ever seen.
And one of the best defenses ever assembled.
Agreed. The fact that Aqib Talib and Von Miller were allowed to be on the same team just seems unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially a few years ago. Oh, God.
I'm excited this for the NFL season just as much as I am for the NBA, where it's you don't really... There's not really that front runner anymore, you know. I mean, with the Rams coming up the way they did the last couple mm-hmm. years, obviously they're still going to be a powerhouse in the West. But you know, there's the question with Todd Gurley and his knee, and his, you know, there's the rumors of arthritis and all this kind of stuff. So you don't know kind of where his percentage is at. And the, I mean, the Patriots losing Julian Edelman on, you know, on that thumb, that he's going to be, you know, out 3 to 4 weeks right now, has been an issue this entire offseason for him. So it's not. There's no real front runner in the NFL that you really can say like, oh, this team's gonna, you know, 12-4 it, or you know, run away with the season. So I'm kind of excited, and it gives me hope as a Bronco fan, being middle of the rung right now in a real hard division. So I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. See if Mahomes can live up to the hype yet again.
Well, I mean, they got Tyreek Hill back, so that'll right. be good for them. It's odd that he didn't get any suspension at all. But that'll be good for them, for sure.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
So for those of you unfamiliar with the Tyreek Hill saga, Tyreek Hill was convicted, I believe.
No.
He was not convicted.
No.
The first time around?
He was charged. It was charged and then investigated.
Oh, and that's right. And then she dropped all the charges, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this was after there was some audio tape. Well, read the police report. Basically, his, I want to say, girlfriend at the time, or baby mother, I'm not sure which, said he beat her pretty viciously, so on and so forth. Another case of domestic violence. There is actual audio of Tyreek Hill threatening his baby mother, and her confronting him with potentially breaking their son's arm in some physical abuse. Again, investigated, charges dropped, correct?
Yeah, the court found no wrongdoing in their investigation, and charges were eventually dropped. But, I mean, this Tyreek Hill has had issues. I mean, we remember he was supposed to be a first-round pick coming out of college and fell a few rounds because of this issue, you know. So this kind of issue has kind of surrounded him his entire career, and mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, you know, judge, jury, and executioner to judge this guy, but you know, if walks like a duck and talks like a duck, you know, it's probably a dog.
I have no problem with people getting a second chance at life. I think it's important, especially in this country. And I don't think that football should be weighing into these matters in the first place. I think that football, as Dan Levitard puts it, and we'll get into some more Dan Levitard a little later in the show, the NFL decided that they were going to legislate morality, and I don't think that they have any business doing so, especially when it comes to matters of domestic violence, because our own justice system really struggles with that, right? Domestic violence is an incredibly layered, complex situation, right? I mean, there's just any relationship is complex just by the fact that it's two humans trying to cohabit, right? That already makes it difficult. And then you add a level of abuse or violence into it, and love, and maybe children. Things tend to get pretty murky. So I never thought the NFL had any business in weighing into these waters in the first place. I thought they should have always let their players play until the teams either decided the situation was too hot and bad for business, or the court system decided that a player was going to go go away for a bit and was going to be penalized in some way, whether it was jail time or fine or whatever. So, you know, I will say, for those of you yelling that this is some vindication that Tyreek Hill was innocent, relax. That doesn't necessarily mean he was innocent. It just means he wasn't charged, or he charges were dropped, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I think it's important to make that distinction. At the same time, for those of you wanting for Tyreek Hill basically to be burned at the stake, y'all should probably relax too, because the charges were dropped. And I'm not saying he's a good guy, but I don't know him, and neither do you, is kind of my point here.
Yeah, I mean, it also kind of shows there are, have been some cases in the past where charges have been dropped, and they have been ostracized. So it's just the NFL's inconsistency once again, to say it's like, this is where we stand and this is where the line is drawn, and stay with that line. And I'm not saying that he should or should not be suspended, but it's just, it just shows the NFL's inconsistency in almost everything they do. So
yep.
It's crazy to see this keep happening year and year. So
yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. Let's turn to prediction time and do something a little more fun than talk about domestic violence once again with the NFL. And let's predict some divisions, shall we? You guys good with that? Now, I don't have the odds in front of me, so we're just going to go based off go division by division. Sound good? Maybe one of you guys can pull the odds up while I do this. You guys good with that, though?
Yeah.
You want to start AFC or NFC?
Let's go AFC.
AFC. All right. Okay. I don't think I even need to ask this one, so I'll give everyone a softball. The AFC East.
Oh, this is a hard one. I'm going to go Patriots, though.
Yeah, man, real rebel.
Yep.
I'm going to go Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to go Patriots.
I think the Jets will can maybe sneak into a wild card, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Possibly. I don't think anybody's, though, charged up enough to where they could actually overtake the Patriots. There's not enough postseason acquisitions or even drafts that convince me otherwise. I mean, even with the Patriots losing Gronkowski, I still think they're heavy favorites in that one. Easy.
Agreed. Let's go to the AFC West. Kansas City, Los Angeles Chargers. I'm still, you know what? I'm calling them San Diego. I don't care. I will never call them the Los Angeles Chargers, except for the last two times where I just called them the LA Chargers for the third time. The Denver Broncos or the Oakland Raiders?
Ooh. I like the Chargers, honestly.
Really?
I like the Chargers in this one. I think they're going to
write this down.
I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. Yeah, I will. But yeah, okay. I like the Chargers a lot.
All right, John for the Chargers.
This is going to be.
Well, I mean, technically, the Broncos are going to win that division, but I mean, from a logical betting standpoint, okay. I'm going to go with
the Chargers. I mean, thinking about it, I'm going to say Chiefs. It's up in the air whether it's going to be San Diego or Kansas City, but I think Kansas City's going to be able to pull it out by only a game. So I think it's going to be a close one, but I think they're going to be able to get it by a game.
Okay.
So I'm guessing 13 wins for the Chiefs, 12 wins for the Chargers.
Okay.
Very specific.
Yeah, I like it. How about the AFC North? Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
This one's going to be the most interesting, I think.
Yeah.
Just this, the storyline with Cleveland, all the new free agents that they got this year, Odell, you know. And I still like the Baltimore Ravens, though. I still like the Baltimore Ravens. I think Lamar Jackson's going to have a hell of a second year.
Mm-hmm.
Fully being under control there. And, I mean, the Ravens' defense is always there, so I like the Ravens.
All right. I definitely love the Ravens. I think Jackson has a lot to offer for that team, and I think Harbaugh's going to be able to coach him into what he can be and what he can do. But I think the Browns are going to be able to squeak in with the last wild card
spot.
Wait,
so do you have Baltimore as
Baltimore's the number one in that division, but I think Browns are going to squeak in with that last wild card spot.
I think the Browns are going to win this division.
You think so?
Yeah, I just thought their defense got better and better as the season went on. Baker Mayfield obviously came in and had an impact, and now you surround him with weapons. And you're going to get a fresh Kareem Hunt. He's on a 10-game suspension? Something crazy.
Eight.
8-game suspension. So he's going to miss half the season, which is honestly, if you are in playoff contention going into week 9 and then you get a 2-time Pro Bowler in his first 2 seasons coming out of the backfield for you, fresh.
And you have Chubb to support him as well. Yeah. That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Browns, adding Odell Beckham with that defense, with that quarterback, I think they're prime to win the division.
So I have the Vegas odds right here.
Yeah, what do you have? Because I have them too. I want to see.
So the AFC North Division, they actually have Cleveland as
really?
The favorite.
What are they, plus what?
Plus 135.
Okay.
Wow.
And then it goes to Pittsburgh will be the second one at plus 200. And then you have Baltimore and then Cincinnati.
I got to say, the one concern I have in the beginning for Cleveland is how they're able to work together. Their cohesion is going to be definitely in question the first couple games. But I think after that, they'll be able to figure it out.
Yeah, that's fair. Last division here, the AFC South, Houston, Indy, Tennessee, and Jacksonville.
Oh, geez. I still think Houston's got it. I think that's a pretty weak division when it comes down to it. You're looking at all of them. Unless Luck is going to be healthy, which he's been injury prone these past couple years.
You could say he's been unlucky.
Very unlucky, yes. But
sorry,
were you waiting for that for a while there?
No, I mean, well, you got to think Tennessee in the offseason picked up Tannehill, so you got to have that quarterback kind of controversy there. So I see that.
Who's Jacksonville's quarterback this year?
I'll check.
Thank you.
I have no
clue. They just signed someone.
Yeah.
Is it Case Keenum? No, he went to the Redskins.
No.
He went to...
Wait, no, that's not what I want.
Case Keenum went to the Redskins?
I think he went to Jacksonville.
Hmm.
I don't know. Well, thanks, Brad, for looking it up. Jacksonville, though, is with Jalen Ramsey, that whole entire defense, it was stout. It seems like kind of the Seahawks of a couple years ago of just being bitter and not really having the leadership. So I don't really like. I honestly, I like the Colts. I think Luck's going to have a great year.
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
That's right. I was going to say, like, wait a minute.
Got that big deal. But yeah, I mean, Houston.
Big Dick Cheney, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that, but then I knew I was going to mess it up. So.
Yeah, you don't want to mess that one up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good suspension.
But Houston's reloaded on the defense. I mean, it's that division will be interesting. I think the Colts can pull it out, though.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's go on over to the NFC,
Start with your Niners, man.
All right, we'll start with the West. L.A., Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona. I think Seattle and Los Angeles are going to battle this out. I think San Francisco could be a dark horse and get a wild card spot, but I'm going to go. I guess I'm going to stay with Seattle. I'm going to go with Seattle.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean,
never thought I heard you say those words,
Mr. Lucan. What do you think?
It hurt me.
I also like Seattle. I literally took all the words out of my mouth. I think it's going to be a battle between the Rams and Seattle all year.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sleep on the Niners. I mean, you got Jimmy G coming back. They've picked up 4 first-round defensive linemen or defensive linebackers mm-hmm. in the last 4 drafts that are all studs. So I wouldn't sleep on the Niners, but I think Seattle can take that division this year and upset the Rams.
Yeah, I think the Rams still have it. I think they have a good core that they haven't lost. And when they did lose,
I just don't trust Goff.
Yeah, me either.
I don't trust
him in the playoffs, but right now what he's doing in the actual regular season last year, it was a good showing of what he's been progressively doing. I think he's going to stay there.
I think it was better.
Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think it was more of
worse
an...
Alex?
Yeah.
I agree.
I think he is Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith has more intangibles than that.
Alex Smith never had the weapons. I mean, he had, trust me, don't get me wrong, he had Frank Gore, he had Vernon Davis, he had some...
Nasty weapons
out there,
yeah.
But if you look at the guys that Jared Goff was throwing to most of the season, Todd Gurley out of the backfield, who led the team in receptions,
Sammy Watkins,
Cooper Kupp, who had a hell of a season before he got injured, Tavon Austin, Robert Woods,
yeah.
I mean, they had, when your third best wide receiver is Robert Woods, you're in. You're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they've kept most of those guys, so I think they still have all the weapons that they had last year, and if they can build off that, I think they'll be fine. And they added a lot of guys that were only 1 year.
They lost a lot of guys on defense, though.
But then they brought
any team that has Aaron Donald is going to contend.
Good
you know,
point.
That,
yes.
That,
you know what?
That guy's going to blow up water.
That point supersedes anything we're saying. So let's move on and get this prediction radio stuff done with sooner than later. The NFC East, Dallas, Philly, Washington, New York. I'm going Dallas. Shouts to my auntie. She's a huge Cowboys fan. Shouts to you. I think Dallas, that offensive line and bringing back all their studs and seeing the way Dak took off towards the end of the season, started playing really well. Him and Amari Cooper really found a rhythm. I think that Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
Dallas and Philly should battle that one out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Philly, honestly. I think.
I would go with them if I didn't go Dallas.
Yeah, I think. Nice.
Flip a coin.
Good at good analysis right there.
I like hedging. Yeah. Or Washington or New York, you know? You never know who's going to get hot.
Philadelphia, though, I think Nick Foles. I think Carson Wentz is going to come off that knee injury, kill it again like he had that MVP first year.
And then get injured the playoffs?
No, he won't be injured this year. That's what I'm saying, Brad. But, yeah, Dallas, I still am not sold on Dak Prescott. I don't think it was worth the extension. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback, and I think he's going to.
But he played well in the second half of that season once he got Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the pickups are definitely going to help Dallas. Dallas is my pick for the East.
Okay. Let's go to the North. Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. I think the Vikings have it this year. I think they have a little bit more of an edge on the Bears this offseason, what they picked up, not only in the draft, but some of their signings. But it'll be a close one. I think it'll be within a game as well in this North Division. Green Bay will not be over 500.
Wow, you're really?
I'm not happy with what they've been doing.
You're not happy with your Packers.
They're not doing anything. Is my problem?
Oh man! Just out of spite, I'm going to take your Packers to win this division just
really?
So I can laugh at you in like 8 weeks or 9 weeks or whatever.
You know what? I would love that. Please laugh in my face if they actually win this.
Yeah.
Just because this is going to sound ridiculous, I'm going to Detroit Lions because someone has to go to first.
I mean, have they ever?
No, probably not. But whatever, I'll take them.
All right.
And lastly, and definitely leastly, because let's move the hell on. The NFC South, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay.
All right.
This division's really is. I like Tampa Bay. I don't know what it is. I just think Tampa Bay is going to have that dark horse season this year.
Weird. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Saints.
You just took the Detroit Lions.
Fair enough.
You're calling me weird.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think the Saints are going to be able to do it. They have Drew Brees at the helm, so you can't really count him out either. And then Matty Ice has been, well, not Matty Ice. Matty melted water, basically. So.
All right.
Matty Taffwater.
Yep.
Nice, dude. I like that one.
Matty Hosewater.
I've never heard that. I like that one.
Yeah, I've never heard it either. Thank you. I've been working on that. I will go Carolina just because I like their colors and I like Cam Newton now.
And you like the show.
And I like the show. So, super informed. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed us just wasting 10 minutes of your time with Prediction Radio right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Once again, this is Talking About Practice. Your man, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, John Lucan, Statman Brad. You can follow us if you want to get to know us a little better. You can follow me, Snapchat, Instagram, The J-Ro Show, The J-R-O Show. Hit me up on Twitter, Flipside_Radio. I am checking during the show, so like I do on my hip-hop shows, Flipside Radio and BYOB, I do interact with a lot of listeners during the show. So feel free to hit me up. Once again, The J-Ro Show, Snapchat, Instagram, Flipside_Radio on the Twitter. Do you guys want to shout out handles? You're welcome to.
You want to go first?
No, go ahead, Brad.
All right. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, F-O Sports 93. That's my handle on both. So
nice.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say in the dark. If you guys want to find me, find me.
No, fair enough.
You know my name.
Never underestimate the power of anonymity, my friend. Once again, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are listener-supported community radio, and we are made possible by the generous contributions of people such as yourselves, the people who listen to us, the people who donate when Pledge Drive comes around, and by Grub CSA Farm, offering organic local produce grown at their farm in Chico. Grub CSA also sells a local sells to local restaurants and at all three Chico Farmers Markets on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and through their weekly CSA vegetable boxes. More info at 680-4543 and on Facebook at GrubCSAFarm.com. You know, it's really cool how many underwriters work with us here at the station. We couldn't do it without you guys, so really, 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 really appreciate that. You know what? I think it's time that I begin to hate. You guys ready for me to hate?
Let's go.
So excited.
He's so excited, he says. All right. Let's hate.
The Player Haters Ball.
Oh, man. Hate, 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 hate.
Why you wanna play hate on me?
Yes, indeed. This is Player Haters Ball, where I take a chance weekly to hate on something, something going on in the world of sports or just in the world in general. And this week, Tiger is back. And by back, I mean the very back of the leaderboard. Tiger missed the cut.
Once again.
Once again.
Sorry, Rory McIlroy.
Tiger has exactly zero top five finishes since golfing with President Trump. Player Haters Ball, y'all. That's it. You're good. You can go now. Oh, we're going to go back-to-back Player Haters Balls.
Hey, 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 hey. Why you wanna play a hate on me?
It's been so long since I've got a hate on something. I will just tell you folks on the front end of this that I have gotten very little sleep. In fact, less than 3 hours of sleep. Worked a full day of work, and I still have stuff to do after the show. So I'm a little grumpy, all right? I just want to be transparent about that before we hate anymore. But trust me, there's plenty of hate still to come. It's what we do best around here. This past Thursday, some of you may know, but this is probably news to many of you. I know for a lot of you locally, besides tuning into ESPN or actually watching the games, we're about the only sports gossip you might actually partake in. But what happened Thursday on ESPN Radio on the Dan Le Batard with Stu Gott show, I thought was very fascinating. Dan Le Batard went on a rant against President Trump, and ESPN has a no play politics policy at their company, meaning that unless you can tie in politics to a sports topic that is relative, we don't talk sport. We don't talk politics here. So why don't we go ahead and take a listen to this very long soundbite, which is fine because we are down a man today, and it's
and
July.
It's worth it.
I mean, yeah, no, I thought it was a very interesting. I thought Dan Le Batard put this pretty eloquently, so we'll let you, the listener, decide for yourself.
So what happened last night? This felt un-American. What happened last night? Okay. Basically, a chant, send her back, is not, you know, it's not the America that my parents came to get for us, for exiles, for brown people. Like, there's a racial division in this country that's being instigated by the president, and we here at ESPN haven't had the stomach for that fight because Jamel did some things on Twitter, and you saw what happened after that. And then here, all of a sudden, nobody talks politics on anything unless we can use one of these sports figures as a meat shield in the most cowardly possible way to discuss these subjects. But what happened last night at this rally is deeply offensive, done by the president of our country. And this tweet from Nick Wright, if you're listening to people chant, send her back, about a Somali refugee who serves in Congress. Nick Wright writes, I don't talk politics on here, but this isn't political. This is obvious. This is abhorrent. Obviously racist, dangerous rhetoric and not calling it out makes you complicit. The send her back chant and the go back to where you came from are so antithetical to what we should be. It is so right what he is saying there. It is so wrong what the president of our country is doing, trying to go down, getting reelected by dividing the masses at a time when the old white man, the old rich white man, feels oppressed, being attacked by minorities, black people, brown people, women. That's who we're going after now. Black people, brown people, women. And that's the, like, let's do it as the platform. That's what you're seeing. And the only way we can discuss it around here, because this isn't about politics, it's about race. What you're seeing happening around here is about race, and it's been turned into politics. And we only talk about it around here when Steve Kerr Popovich says something. We don't talk about what is happening unless there's some sort of weak, cowardly sports angle that we can run it through, when sports has always been a place where this stuff changes. Where stuff, wait, man, Muhammad Ali was fighting for this stuff in the 60s. The Bill Russell and Jim Brown are really old. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is old. These people who were fighting, the most powerful among us in sports, who are fighting in the real, in the civil rights era for things, atrocities happening to black people that we're still paying for now in a country where this is our greatest sin. What has happened to minorities in this country? They're old and dying. Jim Brown walks with a cane, man. He walks with a cane. He's going to go to the grave without having seen change. He's going to go to the grave with Colin Kaepernick still out of the league. Literally blackballed, because we're taking this stuff and making it about the flag when it's not about the flag. It's about race, like burning a cross and saying it's about God. This isn't about the flag. This is deeply offensive to me as somebody whose parents made all the sacrifices to get to this country. Send her back. How are you any more American than her? You're more privileged. You're whiter. You're richer. But people don't know whether your money's real or not. You've had every privilege afforded to you by America. Every privilege. And now what you do with that power is you go after brown people and black people and minorities. And around here, we won't talk about it. We won't talk about it unless Russell Wilson is saying something about it on his Instagram page. Then we have the power to run with it. Weak ass shield. It is antithetical to what we should be. And if you're not calling it abhorrent, obviously racist, dangerous rhetoric.
So there you have it. Now, Dan Le Batard, it is should be noted that he was not on his radio show today. They made it sound as if it was a personal choice, but I'm obviously there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes there that we probably will never be privy to. What I would say about that entire thing is, one, that I do understand ESPN's policy, right? ESPN is a network, and the way they make a lot of their money is to get as many eyeballs on them as possible, right? And the best way to do that is to not alienate your customers. So it does make sense to me why ESPN would have that policy in place. But I also find it pretty courageous and defiant of Dan Le Batard to just go ahead and say, bleep it. I'm going for it. This is how I feel. And this is, I'm going to say what I feel I need to say. We live in interesting times. very interesting times. In my lifetime, this is the worst I have ever seen race relations. I'm 34 years old. It's not incredibly old. To my girlfriend, it might be. But it's not incredibly young either. I've lived long enough to see a lot of things in society change. And let's face it, Trump is not our first racist president. He's not even the first racist president in my lifetime. Y'all remember a dude by the name of Ronald Reagan? How'd those trickle-down economics work out for everyone? How about that war on drugs, which really was a war on poor people and minorities? But we really don't need to get into that right now. We really don't. What I would say, though, is the president of our country, the leader of the free world, is a divisive son of a bleep, right? And that's not even his fault. He was able to win the presidency by being divisive and basically saying, your problems, middle America, your problems, poor white America, are because of other people. And has basically not at any point acknowledged any type of self-responsibility to where a country is, which isn't because of one race or one type of people, poor people, rich people. It is the collective. America, I loved what Dan Le Batard said when he said, "What makes you more American than her?" Which is something that I found interesting because since the Senator Home?
Yeah.
Senator Home speech? Or not.
Or Senator Back.
Senator Back chants. Thank you. Since those chants, there's been all sorts of stuff on social media between different races getting into it. And I even experienced Friday evening riding my bike home. this truck drove by me, and one dude yelled, "Bleep you, you bleeping N-word." And the other person yelled, "Go back to your country," which I found hilarious as they were listening to Jadakiss. as they yelled,
Jadakiss of all
rappers. Yeah, Jadakiss of all rappers. You're right. I found that interesting because I do find that to be a direct reaction to what is happening at the top of our country. And I also found it hilarious because go back to my country, my mother was literally born four blocks from where this was yelled at me. So this is my country, homie, and it's yours too, and it's all of ours. And I think that we are in dangerous times right now where we allow rhetoric like this to be spoken and not call it out as racist. It is racist. Whether Trump is a racist or not, I don't care. That language and the encouragement of that behavior to me is pretty much the definition of racism, right? And I think the media is definitely complicit in this, in that they have, right, when we watch TV, where's the moderate debate? Oftentimes, it's one talking head from the far left or from one counterpoint and the other guy from the other counterpoint, right? We don't get people who are ever talking where we get any type of real information. What we end up walking away with is we get affirmation to the way we already believe because we're just being two people just shouting at each other and no one actually learning anything. You know, I once asked my grandfather way back in the day, what he felt led to the civil rights movement, and he replied very simply, war. he said, when bullets are flying past your head, when your brothers are dying all around you, the last thing you give a damn about is what race someone might be. And so many men in this country in the 40s all went to fight the good fight, right? To protect our freedom as a country, and that ended up leading to MLK's speech, the I Have a Dream speech. Everyone who lost their lives in the civil rights movement, all the people who fought for equality, and that I Have a Dream speech is 55 years old. I mean, think about that, 55 years old, and this is what we're still dealing with on a regular basis. But I honestly don't believe it's all doom and gloom, because the three of us and many of you listening witnessed the most devastating fire in California's history last November. And I personally witnessed people of all different races, different backgrounds, different political affiliations, different religious backgrounds, different ages come together to help out our neighbors. And so I don't think that we're all as different as our president will make you believe. But I've also driven through the South before. So, you know, rant's over. I just wanted to hate on our president's rhetoric because I think it's ridiculous. And I thought that a good way to tie it into sports was Dan Le Batard. Good?
Yeah. Nice.
All right, beautiful. Let's move on.
It was informative hate, which I will agree with every time.
Informative hate. All right. I'll take that.
I like it.
I'll take that. I don't really remember where we are going to go from here. Oh,
I mean,
the Giants are on fire.
Yeah,
huh?
They're doing great right now.
15-3.
Great segue.
Thank you. I've been
working
on
racism in the San Francisco Giants are great right now.
The Giants are absolutely on fire right now. 15-3 in their last 18, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's been a good one. And now they're in the big question of, are they buyers or are they sellers? And before they were sellers, and now the past month has changed, and they are now possibly buyers.
Is that the reports, really? Because last time I read, they were still going to be sellers.
Well, I mean...
But that was about a week and a half ago, and they have been absolutely torching the league since. Well,
yeah, right. I mean, they're the best team in baseball the last 2 months.
Yeah, and they're 2.5 games out of wild card, and, I mean, for this GM coming in for this first year, is it Farhan Zaid? Something.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah,
the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. The Dodgers old GM. But it now raises the question: do you believe in this team enough to let them go into the postseason, or are you gonna say, you know what, you guys aren't good enough? Let's go rebuild. Even though you've shown,
I mean,
not only the city but him that they can do it.
I think here you're playing with house money. You know what I mean? A month, 2 months ago, no one was looking at the. I mean, we were all looking at the Giants as, all right, you know, rebuild time. Let's, you know, possibly sending Bumgarner to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all these different possibilities. Mm-hmm. Bringing up what's great is bringing up all these young prospects that wouldn't have got a shot before. Mm-hmm. Because we feel like our season's in the... These are the guys that are bringing us back.
Yeah.
These are the guys that are hungry. They're hitting, you know... opposite field, like old. They're not hitting for the fences.
They're
like most
playing
of these.
Good baseball that doesn't include what you're seeing in the MLB today. They're playing very grinded out. Get your hits. I mean, you look at the
it's torture all over again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like
are we not used to it though?
Yeah,
I mean,
this is what I'm saying.
It is torture.
But I mean, you look at the Mets series. Their three wins were all in extra innings. You look at Yastrzemski. He has been one heck of a player for the Giants this year.
He's been killing it,
Carl's grandson. I mean, he's been doing... I mean, a lot of coaches don't believe him as a power hitter, but he's a threat. And he's shown that this past week with four home runs.
Well, I mean, if we're going to be buyers, we're going to need... We, as in, obviously, I'm a Giants
Yes, we're
player.
All Giants fans here. And our Dodgers fan, Doyers fan, is back in L.A.
But so they're 2.5 out. Yep. They have what? Arizona is tied with them.
They're tied at 50-50.
Then they have St. Louis.
And then Philadelphia are both tied. Well, not tied, but half a game out of that last
with Washington
spot.
As well?
Washington's number one in the wild card with Milwaukee at 53-48.
Okay.
So it'll
be
a
few teams to overcome, but a couple of those teams are in division with each other, so they're going to be... Yeah.
So you have Milwaukee, St. Louis are in a division together, and Washington and Philadelphia are in a...
A lot of baseball division. Left to be played.
And looking at their stats over the season, the Giants are right now at minus 42 run differential. That's the only thing that really... Obviously, we need to get
and a lot of
some sort
from
of
the
a
beginning bull- too,
right? But I mean, a lot we need to. I think we still need to get a solid arm in the bullpen.
Well, no, our bullpen is the best part of it, though. Like you have Will Law, that's holding it down as your reliever. You have Mertz. Oh, gosh, I can't pronounce all these guys' names. But anyways, our bullpen's our strongest thing.
That's
now,
because you haven't been watching all season because there wasn't a whole lot to watch at the beginning.
I was listening. I wasn't watching. I was listening.
Fair enough. Whatever.
But, yeah, it comes down to I think our bullpen's fine. I think what we need is a good arm to start us off and maybe one or two pieces left in the outfield.
Go ahead.
I basically said everything, yes.
No, I think...
Every position needs to be redone.
So what does that mean in term of playoff implications for the Giants? I mean, if the Giants sneak in as a wild card spot, is there a chance that we could see...
It's the Giants.
I mean, only way we're going to see the Dodgers is in a divisional championship.
And the Dodgers are up 16.5 on us right now.
16, I did want to say...
You only got to win 3 or 4. You know?
No, I totally understand that. And Brad asked at the beginning of this topic, he said, do you believe the Giants have a chance to sneak in? We were 17.5 back going into the month of July in 2010 in the division. And on the last game of the season, we ended up beating the Padres at home. Yep. I was at that game. Swept them. Needed to sweep the series to get into the playoffs. And then obviously ended up winning the World Series that year. Is it probable? Absolutely not. Is it even likely? Probably not.
Have we seen it before?
Three different times.
Yes, we've
three
seen
different
it
times.
And it's Bruce Bochy's last year. Yeah. I mean, there could not be a better story.
I believe
story
in magic in baseball and baseball only. I believe in magic. I don't know what happens. Baseball is just a weird sport, man.
You want to know why? God loves baseball. I can tell you that right now. It's shown in... But yes, no, I think it's Bochy.
You know what? Bochy, no, your timeout.
Time out.
For you.
Time out.
Yeah,
I'll bring it
we're
back.
Done. We're done with. We're done with baseball talk after the God loves baseball thing. We spent enough time.
Yeah.
Let's get into Derek. Derek's evil twin Eric is joining us with a segment we like to call Foot and Mouth.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely like throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot and Mouth.
That's right, y'all. This is Eric. Derek's better-looking twin brother. My stupid brother decided to go home for Dad's birthday. But whatever, brother. So I'm filling in for him. I'm not allowed at home anymore. Mainly because Mark, I won't call him Dad anymore. Mark doesn't like the fact that I listen to Screamo. I don't understand what the big deal is about it. But whatever, Mark. And I dropped out of junior college 4 times. Derek didn't graduate till he's 25, Dad. You still love him. Anyway. Let's get back to the soccer. Zlatan Ibrahimovic. My favorite player of all time. Used to play for my favorite team of all time. Paris Saint-Germain. Is absolutely lighting the MLS world on fire right now. Let's hear from him, shall we, Brad?
Lifting a level and getting players like yourself. And you said right now you're the best player in Major League Soccer. There's another player in Los Angeles, Carlos Vela. In this moment, he's got 19 goals, 12 assists, and his team is leading Major League Soccer. Do you still consider yourself the best player in Major League Soccer?
By far. Because if he's in his prime, how old is he?
Carlos Vela's 29.
29. He's playing in MLS and he's in his prime. Mm-hmm. When I was 29, where was I?
Yeah, you were in Europe.
Big difference. Yeah. Exactly.
The guy's a legend.
Absolute legend.
Swedish.
My favorite player of all
Swedish
time.
Swedish deal.
Did I mention that?
I thought he was Switzerland.
Swedish.
Oh.
Don't ever disrespect him like that again.
Derek tries to claim that it's his favorite player of all time. It's not. He's a bandwagon, as you all know. Dodgers fan. He probably likes the Lakers too. Stupid brother. Zlatan followed that interview up with a 3-goal hat trick for the LA Galaxy this past weekend, right after that interview, proving once again, America, you have a long way to go. But foot and mouth, y'all.
I actually like how he. I mean, that was well done. That was well done.
Well done.
And pre, I gotta
are
say,
we recording that?
Yeah, we were. That was. That's
oh,
recorded.
Man. I think I like Eric a little bit more than Derek.
I like Eric a lot more than Derek, I'll tell you that much.
Oh gosh.
We have we have 3 minutes left. I have enough time to get to a Grinds My Gears in Derek's absence, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Let's do it. You mind turning me up just a little bit, Maestro? Yeah. Thank you.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You cute poor little white chicks out there. There's no need to come up to guys, bump into us, and then act as if it's no big deal. I'm cute. It's annoying. I don't care how cute you are. And you know what? It's not even really you girls. Oh, hold on. It's not even really just you girls.
No one really grinds my gears.
It's us as men's fault. My mom once told me, never fall for a pretty smile and a cute butt. Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe the butt wasn't in there and I just misinterpreted it. But, dudes, men, fellas, can we stop falling for it every time? The reason girls act like this and feel like they could touch you and bump into you and be flirty even when you're like, I have a girl, please back up a little bit, is because you idiot dudes out there fall for it all the time. And I'm in that club, too. I'm sorry. I actually apologize, too. I've fallen for it many, many times. That's it. That's all for
Greg. I think I got one.
Okay. Hold on.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When someone calls you and you answer the phone and they say, hold on.
Oh!
No. I'm hanging up on you instantly. Instantly. We might not even be friends anymore. Do not call me if you have prior plans to talk to someone else.
Agreed. Oh, God. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Brad, anything grind your gears?
You know, give me one.
Okay, great. This is fun.
So excited. What
really grinds my gears?
Patriot fans. That is it.
Fair enough. You know what? I got one,
shout
too.
Out, really
yeah, shut up, Dan.
Let's, one more time.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Meter maids